Preludes for piano, written in 1935 by the American Conlon Nancaro. The pianist was Michel Legrand. BBC Radio 3, 90 to 93 FM on digital radio and online. It's now 11 o'clock. Time for Jazz Lineup with Kevin Legendre.
Hello, and welcome to a special edition of Jazz Lineup with me, Kevin Legendre, coming from the Claw Ballroom at the South Bank Centre as part of this year's London Jazz Festival. ...2011 marks the 11th year of BBC Radio 3's association with the festival, which is now in its 19th year. So there's a great history behind us, and I'm sure a glorious future ahead. Anyway, to the present. On today's programme, we have superb music from three of the best groups in British jazz, the mighty Empirical and the excellent Aquarium. Both show how to blend imagination and energy, the traditional and the modern, to good effect. But before that, we're delighted to present a young saxophonist who's been making waves over the last couple of years for her skills as both a composer and improviser. She is Trish Clues. She plays the saxophone and leads a group called Tangent, which features Chris Montague on guitar, Heidi Parsons on cello, Ryan Trebelcock on bass, Tim Giles on drums, and Trish Clues on sax. Please give a very warm welcome to the Trish Clues Tangent, opening with On Off. Thank you.
very much. Thank you. That was On Off with Chris Montague on guitar, Tim Giles on drums, Ryan Trevilcock on bass, and Heidi Parsons on cello. We're playing you a mixture of repertoire today, some of it new, some of it a bit old. We're going to continue with a tune called Seven. Thank you. thank you very much. We've come to our last tune, unfortunately. This tune is dedicated to a wonderful book. It's called The Master and Margarita, and the tune is named after it. A beautiful, magical Russian book. So thank you once again for listening. There's plenty more incredible music to follow, so please stick around. Thank you again to Chris Montague, Tim Giles, Ryan Bilgock, and Heidi Parsons. Thank you.
Trish Clues. Tangent with The Master and Margarita. Okay, everybody, we're just going to get the next band set up, and Trish is going to come over and have a quick chat with me while we're doing that. A wonderful start to the afternoon, I'm sure you'll agree. Trish, we must talk about that last piece, first of all, because it's inspired by a favourite book of yours, isn't it?
That's true.
Tell us more about that.
It was written in a time when the book couldn't be published because the Russians didn't like it. It's a very special book, very magical, just really inspiring. I've read it so many times, and I'm sure I'll read it many more. And it just really sort of struck a chord with me. And so I started writing away, and I just really felt like, just all the stories, all the characters just really wanted to make me write music.
How do you go about the process of actually writing something after you've read a book? I mean, did you start writing while you were reading it or afterwards?
No, I wouldn't say. I think it varies. I think sometimes things just pop into your head. You know, you could have just woken up, you might be about to go to sleep, you might be eating your lunch, you know, and you just kind of, I don't know, it's suddenly like a picture or something, like a little flash, and there it is, and you can't always explain it. You know, sometimes sure. It's you've been sitting at the piano and something comes out, and sometimes it's not like that at all, so it varies a lot, I think.
The piano is your first instrument, I understand. You played that before the sax?
I started on piano when I was four, yeah.
Okay.
So I kind of improvised a lot with that when I was a kid, and then later on, when I found the saxophone, I really felt that was kind of my voice, so... Yeah.
Why? What was it about the saxophone in particular that you liked?
I think it gets said a lot, but for me the sax just feels really vocal, and it just sort of blends the sort of the range that it has. It's such a beautiful range, and I mean that's part of the reason why I have a cello in the band. It's a very similar range to the saxophone, and they blend incredibly well. And likewise, jazz singers, if the jazz voice is quite sort of alto-y and quite low, and it generally blends very well with tenor, so I've always just felt...
Let's talk about the band, because it's a fairly unusual lineup. You've got guitar, cello, drums and bass. And as you say, the cello is close to the human voice in register. It blends really well with the saxophone. Were you also thinking at times about how you can bring in those orchestral flavours with a cello and whether you might reference other forms of music like either classical or tango?
Yeah, exactly. So when I moved to London, when I was sort of writing... for the quartet I had at the time, I found that I was really hearing orchestral sounds sometimes, like in my head, like not necessarily like, oh right, I need to get an orchestra on board. That idea came later. I guess because I'd done a lot of classical music when I was a kid, I'd always had classical music around as well as jazz, and I guess that when I sort of put my band together when I was leaving college, you know, I wanted an instrument where I could, it's very flexible. The cello can do lots of different things and lots of different textures, can blend with loads of different instruments in the band, because, of course, the bass, very similar instrument, guitar, you know, still strings. And then, as I said before, the saxophone sound really blends well with the cello as well. So,
Trish, let me just ask you one more question about the name Tangent.
Sure.
Because it's a great name, and you could have called the group the Trish Clues Quintet, but
yeah.
You didn't. You went for something which was a bit different. What was the thinking behind the name, Tangent?
I just wanted the music to... I mean, obviously, it has an identity to me because I wrote it and I get it, but I wanted a name that would really sort of tell other people who didn't know about the music what it was about. And I've always felt like my music, it kind of sits on the edge of jazz because it picks things from other things. And I think a lot of musicians are much freer to do that now, but I really felt that Tangent was quite a good word for that, you know, because it felt like kind of sitting on the edge of...
I can go off in different directions.
Yeah, sure.
Great.
Yeah.
Everybody, Trish Clues.
Thank you.
Thanks. Okay, so we have Empirical to look forward to. We also have the wonderful Aquarium to look forward to. But before that, a few things to say. This is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3. We're on 90 to 93 FM. Online and DAB digital radio. And remember, you can catch us on the BBC iPlayer for the next 7 days. We're broadcasting from the 2011 London Jazz Festival, presented by me, Kevin Legendre. Radio 3 offers exclusive video footage of selected concerts online and at bbc.co.uk/radio3. providing a chance to see some of the most exciting and dynamic international jazz talent performing on stage. There's a special opportunity to see Jazz Lineup being recorded in December. On Saturday, the 10th of December, Jazz Lineup present the current BBC Radio 3 new generation jazz artist, Shebaka Hutchings, at King's Place, London at 8 p.m. You'll find full details of that event on our website. You may have heard the sad news of the passing of UK jazz legend Michael Garrick last week. The Jazz Lineup will be playing tribute to Michael and his music on a special edition of the show featuring his Peter Pan suite, conducted by his son Gabriel, that goes out on Christmas Day. Next up, a group led by a young pianist called Sam Leek that made its debut this year with an impressive album that shows that the acoustic quartet is a format that can be used in all kinds of original ways. The band is called Aquarium, another great name for a band, and Sam is here to lead it with a bunch of excellent players, which features Sam Crockett on sax, Sam Lasserson on bass, Joshua Blackmore on drums, and of course Sam Leek on piano. Ladies and gentlemen, playing Strangers, this is Aquarium. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We've got Sam Crockett on the tenor saxophone, Joshua Blackmore on the drums, myself, Sam Leake on the piano, and Sam Lesterson on the double bass. This band's called Aquarium. That last tune we played, it was a tune off our first record, a tune called Strangers, the first tune on it. We're going to continue with more of a new tune. This is one which is called Marrakesh. I was in Marrakesh last week, that's the title. I hope you enjoy it. Thank you very much. That was Marrakesh. We come to our final tune. This is the tune, again, about a place. This tune is called Milan. Thank you. Thanks very much. Josh Blackmore on the drums. Sam Lasson on the tenor saxophone. Sam Lasson on the double bass. Sam Crockett on the tenor saxophone. Two of these Sams. Myself, Sam Leek on the piano. This band is Aquarium. Thanks very much.
The fantastic Aquarium. Okay, we're just setting up for the next band, and Sam is right here to have a quick chat with me. A practical question to begin with. So there's you, Sam Leek, Sam Lasserson, and Sam Crockett. There's a lot of Sams in one band.
They're right, it's a bit confusing.
Do you have to have Sam 1, Sam 2, and Sam 3?
If only I'd thought of that, maybe I wouldn't have made that mistake at the end. but no.
Selected players on the basis of their name.
Yeah.
Aquarium is a relatively new group. Tell us a bit more about where it comes from and how long you've been going.
Well, relatively new is an interesting one because we've been together since about 2008, properly. Myself, Josh Blackmore, and Callum, who normally plays in Aquarium.
This is Callum Gourlay, the bassist.
Callum Gourlay, that's the one, yeah. We've played together since I was about 18, so we've been playing together a very long time. But in terms of Aquarium itself, that's been since 2008 with James Allsop. Sort of playing saxophone.
So the album was produced by Richard Fairhurst.
Yeah.
Another great pianist.
Absolutely.
Tell us a bit about his work with you.
Well, Rich has been a really great help the whole way along. I met Rich when I was studying at Academy. We did an ensemble together. That was really good. Anyway, but me and Rich have recently been playing a lot in a duet setting. We played at the Steinway Festival earlier at Pizza Express earlier in the year, which was really good fun. Went really, really well. He's helped me out with about every single process. Obviously, Rich has released a lot of albums by now, and he could be a really good help. He was there in the studio just making everyone feel comfortable, sort of sitting in the back room saying, even when we weren't sure, saying, no, that's the one, stay with that one. You know, so really.
Is the jazz producer the second pair of ears who could actually, instead of telling you what to play, he'll tell you whether he feels it's working or not, and then you approach it in a different way?
No, absolutely. You can never 100% trust yourself when you're recording, because you're obviously very, very critical of yourself. So you hear it back and that's rubbish, I can do another one. But you need someone there to say, actually, no, that one was really good. And when you listen back to that in a few days' time, you'll like it. So yeah, it was really useful having him there. It made the whole thing a really easy process.
So there are all kinds of influences in the music. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you're coming from the jazz quartet tradition, but we can hear elements of film music, elements of classical music, occasionally mm-hmm. folk music from around the world. Have you always had broad tastes?
It's interesting you say that. I mean, I don't feel as well listened as I should be. I guess a lot of people probably feel that way as well. I listen to as much music as I can, but obviously there's sometimes a tendency to listen a lot to the things you like and in a sort of great detail. So there's certain music I've listened to in a hell of a lot of detail. In terms of the folk thing, probably not directly. I'm into Michael Tippett, and I love the concerto for double string orchestra and various other pieces of music that he's written. Really, really fantastic. I guess you get some of those folkish influences in Samuel Barber's piano music, so I can hear that there. In terms of jazz, I love the Liberation Music Orchestra, especially the first record.
Charlie Haden.
Yeah, that's beautiful. So I guess some of those things probably come from those places, but I definitely could listen to a lot more music than I do.
And dynamics are so important in the music, the whole process of going from a whisper to a bang, which we heard in no uncertain terms. Sometimes it's very, very soft and meditative. Mm-hmm. It's a contemplation, and other times it's a real roar as well.
Sure.
You've obviously paid a lot of attention to that.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I think that's something I probably get a lot from that the Jarrett American band with Dewey Redman and Paul Motion and Charlie Haden. Sort of very, very kind of similar approach, I think, there.
What are you going to be doing next, Sam?
We're going to record this duet record. We've been talking about that for a while. We're just trying to get together the funds to do it. There's going to be another Aquarium record as soon as we have the funds to do it.
I think a lot of people are asking themselves that thing as well.
And if I get the funds to do it, I might record a suite I've written as well. So try to get some money and then make some music, I think, is the next step. But I've got a lot of things written that I'm ready to do as soon as I can.
Right. Well, we look forward to that.
Okay,
definitely.
Brilliant. Thanks so much.
Sam Leek, everybody.
Thank
Aquarium.
You. Thanks so much, Kevin. Thank you.
This is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3. We're on 90 to 93 FM online and DAB Digital Radio. And remember, you can catch us on the BBC iPlayer for the next 7 days. We're broadcasting from the 2011 London Jazz Festival, presented by me, Kevin Legendre. Okay, next, we have a group who arrived on the British jazz scene with a bang a few years ago, and they've continued to make all the right noises since. Because you know who they are, and you know they're going to be great. They draw on the work of anybody from Ornette Coleman, who we just mentioned, and Eric Dolphy, to Branford Marsalis and Steve Lehman. So combining old and new, in and out, sounding great and looking sharp, we have the brilliant Empirical. Tom Farmer on bass, Lewis Wright on vibraphone, Shaney Forbes on drums, Nathaniel Facey on alto saxophone, Empirical. It's a piece called Say What You Mean, I believe.
Say What You Mean. And Mean What You Say.
And Mean What You Say. Mm. Is there a little Thelonious Monk reference in that title? Or?
I don't know. Tom, what are you saying?
Tom wrote the piece.
Yeah, not really. I think it's more about, it's quite self-explanatory in a way. The concept behind that piece is trying to play a strong and very clear idea and stick to that idea and be very convicted about how you stick to that idea. And it works inside a specific kind of cyclic structure, rhythmically and harmonically. So it's very much about saying what you mean and meaning what you say.
So it's from a new album called Elements of Truth.
That's right, yeah.
Which has just come out. And it's a very, very different sound in a lot of ways. A different record to the previous release.
Yeah, very, very much so.
Which was inspired by Eric Dolphin.
Absolutely, yeah.
Previous one was called In and Out.
That's right. Or Out and In, excuse me.
Out and In, exactly. So tell us about the move, because stylistically on this new record, there are lots of different influences that we can hear.
Well, the last record was more kind of specific in its focus on paying tribute to the legend Eric Dolphy and his music. And we derived all of our, you know, all of our material was developed around his music and his life and his influence on us as people and as musicians. This time around, what we felt we really wanted to do was get back to the kind of ethos of what our band is really about, Empirical, which is about gaining knowledge through observation and experimentation. And essentially, we write for each other, bring pieces to the band and work on stuff and develop things, you know, as a collective. And this album is much more reflective of, you know, where we're at in terms of what we're listening to, what we're into, what we're inspired by at this moment in time. And not just musically, but the things that are going around us in the world right now.
What kind of stuff are you listening to at this point in time?
Well, I mean, the influences are really broad. And what's really cool about the collective is, you know, at one time, you know, Tom might be checking out Bjork or VJ Iyer, but whilst at that same time I'm listening to, I don't know, say Talib Kweli and Steve Lemon or something like this, or Rudresh Mahanthapa, who's a great modern saxophone player. But then just as much, you know, Lewis might be checking out, you know, any you know, some Messiaen, or Shane could be listening to some Sonny Rollins or Coltrane, and it's just kind of a mixing melting pot of great music, essentially.
Conversation.
Absolutely. Which is, you know, the thing.
So this has been an incredibly busy London Jazz Festival for you guys.
Oh,
yeah. In between the gigs that you've been doing as Empirical and as also guests with other groups,
that's right.
Workshops. I believe you did 2 gigs in one night.
That's right, yeah.
On Thursday.
We were at the Queen Elizabeth Hall on Thursday the 17th supporting Archie Shepp. And then straight after that, we had to run down to Blackheath Concert Halls and play a concert down there.
Did you surf on Tom Farmer's bass? kind of all
that would have been cool. Maybe we can try that next time, Tom. I'll be up for that.
But importantly, when you have the opportunity to share a stage with the likes of Archie Shepp, who's a real legend in the
music,
I imagine that provides so much inspiration for you.
Oh, definitely. I mean, we were backstage, and actually, I just kind of stood outside of the room backstage listening to Joachim Kuhn, who's the piano player that Archie was playing with, warming up, and just before we went on, actually, and that alone is like a whole lot of inspiration. And just the privilege to share the stage with, you know, someone that's part of the history and legacy of this music is, yeah, it's an honour and an inspiration in itself.
And working a lot, doing several gigs in one night, I mean, that kind of takes us right back into the tradition. We forget that jazz musicians back in the day would sometimes do several sets right into the night, late into the night.
Yeah, you know, Coltrane's band would play 3 sets a night, most nights of the week. And that's a kind of opportunity that we're rarely afforded in the modern day, you know, industry. It just doesn't really allow for that. So it was wonderful to have to play your music, you know, and then within an hour be somewhere else playing, you know, some of the same music and some different music and trying to reset your mind and your spirit and come at things from a different angle.
Okay, well, I think it's time for more music.
All right. Cool. Thank you.
Matt, what are you going to play?
We'd like to move on to another Tom Farmer composition. That first one was Say What You Mean What You Say. And this one is entitled Simple Things, which is for people who like the simple things in life.
Empirical.
Empirical.
Thank you very much. We'd like to play one last song for you. This one is an original composition that I composed for the band, and this one is entitled In the Grill, and it's about spatial awareness and is inspired by the art of boxing, the sweet science.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Empirical. What a way to go out, finishing in style. And that's almost us at the end of the show. A big thank you to all our bands today, Trish Clues, Tangent, Aquarium, and Empirical for their performances as part of this year's London Jazz Festival in association with BBC Radio 3. Plus, thanks to all our staff here at the Claw Ballroom for making us feel so welcome. And last but not least, thank you to the audience for bringing such great energy to the show. Big yourselves up. Remember, you can go to the Jazz Lineup homepage on the BBC Radio 3 website. You'll see a link to our Listen Again feature where you can enjoy the experience again of this wonderful music for the next 7 days. Next week on Jazz Lineup, please join us for more music from jazz icon McCoy Tyner, recorded at the Barbican as part of this year's London Jazz Festival. And remember, the coverage of the festival continues on BBC Radio 3 over the coming weeks on Jazz Lineup and our sister programs, which include World on 3, Jazz Library, and World Roots. Jazz on 3 with Jez Nelson this Monday night at 11 p.m. features American sax giant Archie Shepp in duet with pianist Joachim Kuhn. From me, Kevin Legendre, and all the team here at the London Jazz Festival, bye-bye.
Welcome from me, Susan Sharp, to Radio 3 Through the Night. We're paying a visit first this morning to the 2010 Great Mountains International Music Festival, held in the breathtaking mountain scenery of Gangwon Province in South Korea. Under the umbrella theme Create and Recreate, the first two pieces we're going to hear by Janacek and Beethoven exemplify this. Janacek's string quartet, the Kreutzer Sonata, was inspired by the dramatic climax of Tolstoy's novella of that name. And it was hearing Beethoven's Kreutzer Sonata which gave Tolstoy the inspiration for his story. It tells of a jealous husband who murders his wife when she and her lover have been playing Beethoven's sonata together.